This is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel, and I am with Carl Seitz with Helier. Carl, how are you?
I'm doing terrific, Joanna. How are you?
I'm well. Well, my first question for you, now that I actually am sitting down in front of you, is what does Helier mean?
Well, it's an interesting story. We thought about it for quite a while, and we came up with Helier because Heli is Greek for the sun, and we added the A-E for algae. So it's a combination of the sun and algae, which is very appropriate for what we do.
And you're based in Phoenix, so there's a lot of sun in Phoenix.
Yes.
But how did Helier come to be? I heard you have an unusual story on how your company was formed.
Well, actually, it happened about 4 years ago when we met at two professors at ASU, and they told us about this new process by which they can take algae and turn it into jet fuel. Now, we had never heard of technology like this, but the more we talked to them, the more we got interested. And it turns out that oil that we use today actually did come from algae. So we looked into it more. And what was of particular interest to us was the fact that their particular strains of algae grew very rapidly, doubled its weight every day. It was high in oil content, greater than 30%, and it had the right oil components. That means that it has a component of carbon that goes from C8 to C16. And that happens to be roughly the same carbon string that kerosene has. Kerosene is the main component of aviation fuel. But what got us really hooked on it was the fact that in addition to fuel, you could always also get food out of it. And when we heard that, we were particularly interested because in 1950, there was 3 billion people on the face of the earth, and today there's 7 billion. 30 years from now, there's going to be 9 billion, and we've got to feed and provide fuel for all of these people.
Right. Now, Carl, there's a lot of, you know, companies are taking different strategies on this conversion of algae to whether it's biofuels, biochemical, jet fuel, whatever it may be. What is Helier's technology? Can you give us, just without going into proprietary details, give us an overview of your technology?
Well, we're going to start off with our proprietary strains of algae and improve upon them. We do not use a GMO strain. We use a strain that has been chemically altered and provides us with higher oil content and a faster growth rate. We also combine that with our closed photobioreactor. And then we use our proprietary and patented extraction formulas and techniques to get the fuel out as well as the proteins and the carbohydrates.
So what makes your technology unique compared to some other people in the space?
Well, I think two things. One, we're going to start from the very beginning, from the strains, go through the photobioreactor and to the extraction. So we're going to take it from soup to nuts. And the reason that's good is because even though you're able to grow certain strains in Phoenix, you may not be able to grow them in Australia or other parts of the world. So we're going to be able to understand the process that we can use in Phoenix as well as in other parts of the world.
So, Carl, in terms of your technology, what do you see for the future? Are you looking at 10 million potential? Are you looking into the billion-gallon potential of being able to convert algae to fuels?
Yes. Well, our initial goal was to provide or to produce one barrel per day per acre. And we think at that rate we can be competitive to current prices of petroleum oil. The world is going to need millions of gallons of alternative fuels. So the minimum amount of acreage that I think a plant would be hundreds of thousands of acres. Without that hundreds of thousands of acres, no one's going to be interested in doing the logistics and providing the stations and the fuel depots to be able to provide fuel for aviation. If you're not in the millions of gallons a day, then no one's interested. Okay? We're going to have to provide fuel for aviation, and the aviation industry uses billions of barrels per year.
So do we have enough land? Concern that people have is it's going to take an enormous amount of land to be able to grow the amount of algae we need to be able to meet the fuel demand that we're looking at both today and in the future. With your technology and what you're seeing, do we really need that much land to achieve our goals?
Well, the technology that we use is closed photobioreactors. So therefore, we're going to use a lot less land than if you were to do it in ponds. Now, I don't want to get into the argument as to whether or not PONS or photobioreactors is the right technique, but we're using the photobioreactors because we can conserve on water. 99% of the water that we'll be using will be recycled. And the fact that our photobioreactors are vertical as opposed to being horizontal, we're going to use a whole lot less land. So we're looking at both the land and the water as constraints. Fortunately, the strains that we use non-potable water, so we won't be in competition with human commodity food.
Or you won't be in competition for fresh water either.
We won't be in competition for fresh water either.
So, Carl, there's not consistency in how people measure success in terms of producing algal biofuel. So how is Helier measuring success?
Well, in the past, people have measured the amount of algae or oil that they produce by the liter or by the gallon. Helier is now in the process of measuring our production by the barrel. Oil has always been measured by the barrel, and Helier is in the process of doing that.
And when you, in terms of measuring by the barrel, let's put this in perspective for people. We export about 1 billion barrels of oil a day. Is that correct?
We import billions.
We
import billions of gallons every day.
And so the hope then would be for companies such as Helier to replace those billion gallons of imports to billions of gallons of domestically, or barrels basically, of domestically produced fuel.
Right. The potential in the United States is enormous. We have abundant sunlight in the Southwest. We have abundant non-potable water. The United States sits over 60% of the non-potable water of the world, and that can be readily accessed. And, of course, we all know that we need to do something about our CO2 emissions. So when you bring all of these together and you mix in algae and you can get both a fuel and a food out of it, then you've got something.
So in your perspective, are we 10 years away, 5 years away? When are we really going to start to truly see industry-wide commercial-scale algae production?
Realistically, I think it'll probably be 5 to 10 years from now, only because there's still a number of issues that need to be solved, in particular the strains that you'll need in not only Phoenix, but in other parts of the world. Photobioreactors are still an issue that needs to be dealt with. Fortunately, I think that we've solved some of the issues around the extraction process, so we have a little bit of an advantage.
Great, Carl. Thank you.
You're welcome.